M100?
Yes.
Thanks for asking.
Thank you for joining us today on Binary Jazz, where we are talking about 3D printing and why this object that I'm holding in my hand that you listeners cannot see is not a Palm Pilot. I am here with Gary, who's Binary Gary on the internet. Also, Allison, who is Allison Plus on the internet. And I am Jazz Sequence on the internet. My name is Chris. Welcome. How's your day?
That is my answer. My answer was that deep sigh.
2020 answer right there. That is the every day, all day, that sigh. Yep.
Can you hear the rain coming through? The tropical storm that is...
No.
Oh, tropical storm Xavier or whatever?
I think it's Sally.
We're already like through the alphabet in the beginning of September.
This is the one that hit somewhere in the Gulf Coast a few days. Oh, what an asshole I am. I don't even know where it hit. It's crazy. Not living on the coast, I don't pay attention to tropical storms anymore. Which
is probably a huge chunk of your brain that's just free to think about other things.
I mean, I don't think about tropical storms either.
That space to think about.
Between June and October 31st, like, we kept, like, you know, go bags and water and that kind of stuff. Candy, flashlights, a lot of canned food, you know, just in case. And so anytime a storm would pop up, like, you know, you just kind of watch the track. And it's kind of in the back of your mind, like, what's the percentage that I need to worry about this? And a lot of times it was, like, zero. But now it's like literally zero because I didn't even know we were going to be getting this until my dad was like, you're in for a lot of rain in the next couple of days. I'm like, yeah, that's weird. I saw that too. I'm not sure why. He's like, the storm? Yeah, what are you talking about?
now rain is simply just rain to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And now that we have the sump in the basement, like is the sump in the basement and the cap on the chimney? Like, it's fine. Whatever. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
I mean, like, I was going to stop it before. Like, that, like...
before, like, yeah, you would have put a stop to this.
Yeah, but we don't pay attention to tropical storms because we're too far away from the tropics. But we do pay attention to the West Coast fires because we get to breathe all the smoke.
Yeah. How is it by you?
So we had a really, like, ridiculously large windstorm last week. Knocked out the power, downed, like, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of these huge, like, mature 100-year-old trees. And that had the consequence of blowing a lot of the smoke out of town for a couple days. But it's back. It's definitely coming back. We had, like... couple days of clean air. We had that happened on, I think, Monday night and Tuesday morning and a little bit on Wednesday, and then we went camping on Thursday, to the extent that Aaron's sister still didn't have power Wednesday night when they were trying to determine whether or not they were going to go, because they didn't want to leave the refrigerator full of stuff,
just leave town.
Right. So the last day we were there, which was Sunday night, Monday morning, we started seeing the smoke again. And that was way up in the northeastern, that little chip out of Utah's top corner. We were up by there, that little notch.
yeah, the chip.
Yeah. So we were up by there, and we started seeing the smoke come in, and we were up high in high elevation too, above where a lot of the smoke would be. So it's yeah, we definitely got it. We definitely get it. We usually have like decent air in the summer months as compared to the winter months, because in winter we get the cold inversion, which holds all the crappy polluted air in. So at least in the summer it can kind of, you know, fly away, and then there's like storms or wind or, you know, rain occasionally. But yeah, now, but then we have to deal with, you know, California and the entire state being on fire. And that seems to be an annual thing now. So.
What is going on with the world?
What? The theme of 2020.
I mean, there's a lot of things going on with the world. Would you like me to list them for you, Gary?
Global warming is
one of them.
I got my ballot yesterday, though, which I'm very excited about, because it's like very early on time-ish. So
wow.
That's great. So I will be voting this week and sending it off.
Yeah.
In order for it to get back in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I've also contemplated just biking over to the consulate and delivering it there and being like, you definitely have to get it back.
Yeah.
I am registered to vote in North Carolina. Pretty excited.
I checked to make sure, because you always hear the stories of people like finding out they're not registered to vote at the last minute. So I actually checked to make sure that we were registered. I got one of those stupid emails from, I don't know, some progressive
oh my gosh
email newsletter thing that I happen to be subscribed to for some reason, that said, like, here, click on this button and we'll check to see if you're registered. And I clicked on the button and said, you're not registered. I'm like, what the fuck? So I went to the Utah voter registration site and I had to type in like Christopher, but I'm registered as Christopher Scott.
I got one of those, you know, like you get like the text banking is like the thing this year, or maybe it was, I don't know, whatever, 2 years ago sometime. I got one that said, hey, Rhonda, are you can Joe Biden count on your vote? And I'm like, this isn't Rhonda. So they replied, you know, like asking, are you eligible to vote in the U.S. and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah. And they asked the same question. Can Joe Biden count on your vote? I replied, hell yeah. And
I just want you to know my name.
I wasn't sure if it was, I'm not sure how my number got associated, whatever. And so then I asked, like, is there a preferred way to vote? Like, is early voting better? Is vote by mail better? Day of? And they couldn't provide any guidance there.
No. They're just jockeys with a phone list to.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, and that's cool. Like, I just wasn't sure if there was, like, a preferred way to do it, because, you know.
I don't think they're allowed to recommend, like, when you vote. Mm. It's only that you vote.
Yeah. Oh. Utah's vote by mail only, and we have been for a couple years, so we don't have really a choice. I mean, you can still vote in person. You can also deliver your ballot in person, but, like, everybody gets a ballot in the mail.
I would, I think I would like to deliver mine. But Rhonda's like, we should vote early. So
I do feel
here. It's not until like middle of October before we can vote early anyway. So.
I do feel slightly better about putting my mail-in ballot in an official like vote collection drop box as opposed to just dropping it in the mail. And I think that's what I did last time we had a major
election. I'm not a fan of vote by mail because
oh, I love it.
Not counted several times by me.
Yeah, well, that's, Florida.
Yeah, to be fair, it wasn't going to count anyway, so okay.
I mean, Florida has had that problem specifically. Florida has a history of weird, stupid voting problems.
Yeah, it is because it is such a political position in every county. And so it's just whack-a-mole. You get one county fixed and the next county pops up and it's a disaster. It's God bless that state.
I ran into the issue of I was double checking to make sure I was registered to vote because I was just like, again, hearing all the things. I was like, mm-hmm. Well, let me just double check. I've lived in the same place for like 10 or 12 years now, but let's just make sure everything's aligned for, especially since I'm absentee, to like get everything on time. And their whole process, because it's like based on the last state you lived in. So I'm in California, but then to check online, they require that you have a California driver's license number. And I'm like, I gave up my, like, I swapped licenses like a long time ago at this point. So then I was just like, so then I emailed them and I was like, hey, I can't check using your online database to see if I'm registered because of this. Like, what's my alternative? Like, how do I, and they just sent me back this like form letter and they were like, you're going to have to call your representative. And I was just like, oh my God. Don't you understand that all of this is long distance?
And obviously you got your ballot anyway, so you were.
Yeah.
I guess it would be based on your old driver's license. I mean, because your driver's license number doesn't change, really.
Well, that was what I was, and I was like trying to find paperwork with my old driver's license number on it. And then I was like, well, where would I have written that down? Like, I was just like, okay, like maybe insurance would have it, like.
You don't have like a, we have a paper bag that has all of our important documents in it.
Paper bag.
Yes. A literal paper grocery bag. And I think the idea originally was we should put all this stuff somewhere.
Yeah.
And this is all like really important stuff. So it shouldn't be in something that looks valuable. Like if our house is broken into.
That's a strategy.
We don't want them to get all that stuff. Like it's like in something that looks like it's worth something. We want to put it all in like something shitty that looks like it's worth nothing that they can just ignore.
So funny though, because then my thinking is like, so you put it in the most flammable thing.
And we want to preserve it. So we squirt lighter fluid on it like once a month just to really let it saturate.
But there's no right answer, though. It's all strategy.
But the paper bag has like and multiple old IDs for both of us. I think it's got my old California license, which probably has a picture of me from high school.
Yeah.
I
was actually they like literally took my license from me and gave me my new one. So nice. I couldn't
Okay.
Which I said to the lady, I was like, oh, I was like, is there any way you could just like cut a corner or something, and then I could keep it, because I was just like, because 16-year-old me worked really hard for this driver's license, and I was just like, there was just something about the California license that I was like, I worked really hard for this.
Moved, I had my backpack with my laptop in it, and my passport, and my birth certificate, and like, checkbooks, like pretty much anything of value was in this backpack, and I started thinking through it, going, like, that's a lot of, like, consolidated risk in that bag. Like if I misplace that thing, like nope, not closing on the house, not everything is effed up.
Yeah, we got birth certificates for the kids and for us in there. We've got marriage license, we've got old IDs. Passports were in there, but they are no longer in there. I've actually been using mine. And then since we were gonna, you know, maybe go to Canada on a trip and maybe go to France on a trip, they were like out, like ready to go, but that happened.
Back when we made travel plans.
Back when travel was a thing. Speaking of travel,
out of storage.
Salt Lake City has a brand new airport.
Really?
Yes. We just opened our brand new airport. They actually were able to speed up the construction because of COVID, because no one was there.
What's a silver lining?
They're rid of those pesky planes trying to land at the time. So.
It just seems really ironic that it opened last week, and it's like, wow, there's a $4 million airport that nobody is in.
It was way more than $4 million.
It's probably it might have been $4 billion. I don't know. It's four something.
A lot.
Yeah.
Four and an illion.
Yeah.
Some sort of illion.
I'm just gonna start saying illion and drop the first letter.
Illions and illions.
It's a bigger number than I'll ever like be able to comprehend. It's fine.
Dream big.
Yeah.
Do we have a topic today?
We do.
About Chris's airport.
The topic is the airport.
The Christopher Reynolds Memorial Salt Lake City Airport.
Yeah, if you were going to name an airport, what would you name it? Would you name it after yourself, or would you name it after someone that you think is great?
I would not name it after myself.
That's the answer to both those is yes, me. I think I'm great.
Okay, well then who do you think is underappreciated and needs an airport?
That's Malcolm X. The Malcolm X Airport in Salt Lake City.
In Salt Lake City. That would
be the perfect place to have the Malcolm X Airport.
And then the airport code could be something.
It'd be MX.
Yeah.
Like, screw Mexico. Mexico City? Yeah, I was going to say, screw Mexico. Just, Mexico. MX, Malcolm X. MXO. MXO.
I would pick... I can't remember her name. The first.
If you can't remember their name, Russian then it...
astronaut. Because it would just be weird to have a Russian astronaut as the name of an airport in the U.S.
What was the name of the astronaut where they planted all the trees? You know what I'm talking about? This is vague. Never mind. I'll post an article or something.
I have to Google this now because...
the astronaut that planted all the trees?
Valentina Tereshkova. Tereshkova International Airport.
Okay. The Malcolm X Airport would just be X. Yeah, X just... International Airport.
Do we want to do a topic today, or do we want to just fly fancy free?
We should do a topic.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, we're going to fly fancy free anyway.
Yeah, I know. All right. The topic today is miasma.
Miasma. That's
M-I-A-S-M-A.
Yeah, that's okay. Okay, go Gary.
Have we done this topic before? Or am I just having like the biggest deja vu?
Oh, maybe we have.
Wait. I don't think we have. No, we have not.
Because there have been all sorts of jokes. Oh boy, I've definitely had this discussion with someone, because the obvious, like, your asthma. My asthma, what the hell is it though? Oh,
are you gonna do you have a thing? Because I
no go I have to go,
because isn't it like like a liquidy collection of like stuff, like a miasma of goo, or a miasma of like lava or something?
I can't believe I can't pull this up. I had this conversation with my sister-in-law in Rhonda. And that's why it's deja vu. It's not deja vu. It actually happened.
You're on the right track. You're definitely you've got the usage down and you're like almost there. Do you want me to just tell you?
I want Gary to struggle a little bit more.
What? Before I struggle a little bit more.
This podcast can be retitled Gary's Struggle.
What is, so as part of my weird spiritual research, I guess.
Okay. Into the Akashic Brotherhood.
Yeah, definitely part of it. And some really wacky YouTube videos that I may or may not ever share about the physics and the energy and the primordial wave.
Primordial suit,
No, not suit.
Primordial like this, miasma.
This like energy that connects all things, and that it's just below the surface, but we're all somewhat in tune to it. We just can't put a finger on it, right? There's like a lot of positivity in that, which sounds super rad. But then there's like those things that you experience where you're like, you're totally 90 degrees to that energy. You're not surfing the wave, you're fighting the wave. Maybe that's 180 degrees. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's all bullshit anyway. But so in those situations, like, I can't figure out what's happening in those situations, right? Like, is that a thing where, like, as I'm struggling to remember, like, this conversation and pull from my memory, like, what this was, is that struggle, like, what is that energy vibe? Like, if I were to just relax and go with it, like, would it resolve itself? Or is it gone forever? Or, like, I can totally understand and equate, like, the good vibes and like pleasantness, but like the negative and the shit, like what, where is that in this ever resonating wave that doesn't exist until observed?
I don't know if I follow.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good answer. That's a fine answer.
But I think, well, like if I'm understanding, I mean, like it would depend on then what school of thought you want to combat it with, right?
It might.
Because, like, you could choose, like, a Buddhist thought, like, frame of reference and just be, like, pain and suffering. Like, I feel like you could, not that...
There's a lot of angles to come at it, yeah.
Yeah, like, not to treat it like a buffet, but, like, you could, hypothetically.
One thing that Erin always says and believes is, like, her sort of, part of her... way of explaining the universe is that you get from the universe at large is relative to what you put into it. So if you put out a lot of positive energy, then you'll get back positive things. If you put out a lot of negative energy, then you're going to get a lot of negative things, and you're going to be focusing on the negative things.
So the idea is.
And sort of karma, but not quite the same thing, but kind of related. Yeah,
so I feel like the obvious and probably like spiritually immature question that stems from that is like, well, what about things like cancer, or you know, like these things that happen that are
inherently
awful.
inherently bad. Yeah,
or flip it the other way and say like, yeah, okay, so if karma is a thing, how come Trump, right? Like, because that dude's a cosmically fucked, right? I mean, that's so.
Please write a biography with that.
Cosmically fucked. By Gary Kovar.
But see, mine wouldn't be about that because I almost posted this the other night, Tuesday night. Like, I don't remember where I ran across it. It's somewhere in the piles of crap I've been reading. Somebody posited the idea, like, maybe the universe is like just slightly skewed in your favor, right? Like, all right, like that doesn't necessarily mean it's not skewed in everybody's favor. But that idea, like, you know, Tuesday night when like Ron and I were talking about like things that we had accomplished during the day that was an awful lot, that, you know, these big mountains we wanted to take care of, like, wow. And I was like, yeah, of course, like, because everything's like skewed towards us like a little bit. So, yeah, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it be great like that? Obviously, it's fantastic. Which also, perhaps, is a very spiritually immature concept. I don't know.
No, I mean, it doesn't... Like, I there's a... I'm going to tie this back into something that's completely not related to spiritual, metaphysical stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a really good TED Talk that probably, I imagine... one or both of you may have already seen, which is basically this person talking about the power of positive thinking, and but also like fake it till you make it, like fake positive energy until you actually have that. And the reason for that is because when you come at things from that headspace, you make better things happen for yourself because you are more confident, you're more outgoing, you're more comfortable with the situation. And so because of that, you're able to see these things and make these connections and do things that you wouldn't be able to do if you were like closed off and focused on negative and just like really in a bad headspace. And so the idea is like, if you can fake being happy and positive, then eventually you're not faking it anymore. It's actually you know, how you feel about things.
I very much buy into the entire fake till you make it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I said that constantly when I was doing the e-commerce thing, like to everybody. They'd be like, I don't know. I'd be like, well, fake it. Take the data you have in front of you and make the best decision. You know more about this than anybody. So what if you're wrong? What if you're
and
right?
And that sort of aligns like, with the idea that the universe is skewed in your favor. Because if you believe that the universe is skewed in your favor, it doesn't matter if it actually is. It's like a placebo.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it actually is. If you believe that it is, then it kind of becomes that way. And that aligns into sort of my general metaphysical concept of the universe, which is that the things that we collectively believe or believe individually, we make true. So like my I had this theory for a long time, and I don't know if I still like believe it, but sometimes I do, but sometimes I don't. Like one of those things, have this theory that like God didn't come first. We came first, and then we created God by believing that there is something greater than ourselves. And we all tell these stories in all different cultures, and most of those stories are pretty much the same story. So because we're all telling the same story, that made the thing there. And now there's a thing, and maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, maybe it's non-existent, who knows, but there's a thing there that we put our energy into. And so therefore it exists because we think that it does, and it's sort of, we shape that existence of whatever that thing is.
Yeah, there's this, yes. So there's this, I don't know what you call him. There's this guy, Peter Rollins, who's like a heretic theologian. I don't know. Just thinker.
Sounds like my like, time just, guy.
Yeah, he is all over the place. And so like, one of the things he talks about is like, he's like, there's this like weird fallacy that like atheism and theism like are opposed to each other. He's like, they're telling the same story. Mm. Like they're talking about the topic's the same. It's just, yeah. You know, just looking at different times inside of the same story. He's like, I find that stuff really boring. he's like, and so then he talks about like from the theist perspective, like the creation of God, like there are different levels of creations of God. Like I had to create a God because I had to explain my existence. Right. But how powerful can God be if God couldn't be created until I could think of a God? Mm. Right. So that's not really inner. And so he goes through all these steps. It's fascinating stuff. He also does this thing called Atheism for Lent, which, so some background, like in the, if you're not versed, like in Christianity, season of Lent is a time typically where you fast, right? And so the concept is maybe for fasting, like give up faith entirely. So like your fasting is not from something simple like chocolate or meat or alcohol or even food, but your fasting is like completely from the concept that there is anything. And so do that for 40 days. And I'm like, I don't know, man, like that's some punk rock approach to theology that I like if we're serious about this, then let's like not half-ass it and let's really like dig in and experiment and see. And that's exciting. And maybe it is just that first level theism that like God had to exist because we needed to create something that created us. Like that's it. But I don't know, man, if the universe is really slanted in my favor, as I believe it is, there is something underneath the surface that like long before it was like defined as specific religions, there was this like mystic understanding mm-hmm. of the world. And mysticism has something going on, that spiritualness that, and spiritual, like I feel like that even that word has some like baggage.
Yeah, there's weird connotation.
I use it because I haven't found a better one yet, but yeah, there's something, there's stuff there. There's energy, there's light, there's, I'm glad we didn't let this not get weird. I'm glad we got weird. I threatened it. I'm glad we got there.
Yeah, what's miasma? Since we've talked about a miasma of topics.
We did talk
well,
about
it. Might we as well have, talk but about I think that is. Allison's going to say what it is and be like, oh, it was right there in the tip of my brain.
I lost my tab.
It's a feeling of melancholy.
Well, you're not completely wrong.
All right.
It's used currently as like a highly unpleasant smell or like an oppressive or unpleasant atmosphere which surrounds or emanates from something.
So there's like through a miasma.
So there's like a source to this. It kind of stems back from like miasma theory, which is like what was the precursor to germ theory, basically, was that in medieval times they were thinking that there was like that it moved through the air, the stench, this thing, and that's what was like with the plague and like not the plague, Black Death, maybe that's the same thing. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Black Plague,
And basically like moving through the air is like a cloud that was emanating.
Yeah, so I think what always gets me on that word is that it sounds like plasma or and magma. And so, like, I combine the two things, and it's like, it's a weird liquid that's just a combination of stuff that's melting, but it's not.
But it's kind of, it's like that, but in, like, air form, because, like, you can definitely picture a cartoon version of, like, whatever it is, like, filling a room or whatever.
That's a word that I will need to use in Dungeons & Dragons.
And, like, it got replaced by germ theory, so, you know, process. It's all iteration. Do we have any Allison questions?
We do. We do. There's also, we also got an email from the Genrenator Slack app support, but there's no content, so that's cool.
Is there a form for that?
Apparently there is, and somebody found it and clicked it, but they didn't put anything in it. So... Thank you all for waiting for me to sneeze, because that was really valuable content right there.
Actually, in my family, we don't say bless you. We say whiskey.
Okay. Take it. Well, speaking of whiskey, Allison, question number one is, how many types of whisks can you name? I feel like this is a trick question, because a whisk is the kind of whisk that I can name.
There's maybe like seven.
Maybe for a secondary whisk, a fork is another type of whisk that I can name.
That's good.
Like, if I don't have a whisk, then I've got a fork and I can do the same thing. That those are the types of whisks that I can name.
Gary?
Gary's trying to think of something clever.
Yeah.
Because he also doesn't know any types of whisks.
I think that egg whisk is a specific kind of whisk. But maybe that's only because that's all we use it for. So someone's like, maybe the egg whisk. I don't know. I think I can only think of the one kind. Yeah, just the whisk. And I think we only own one. Maybe it's in different sizes.
I mean, we have a big one and a small one. And they're both whisks.
There's two right there. The large and the small one.
Yeah.
Small, medium.
And fork. Yeah.
Okay, just curious.
There's seven kinds?
There's like 11, maybe more. Wow. I don't know.
What's the flat one? You know what I'm talking? Is that like an actual kind of whisk? Or is
I think it's just called
like
a flat whisk.
As seen on TV stuff. Okay.
As seen on TV.
There's I don't actually know if it's like an as seen on TV product, but it seems like in our flat pack and ship world, but that's the kind of thing you'd want to sell because it doesn't have to incur the size dimensions and ship it first class.
I know there's balloon, there's a French whisk, and then a flat whisk. Those were the ones that I knew. But then there's
and
like
the French whisk, obviously, is identifiable by the beret.
Yeah. And the mustache.
Yeah.
French whisks always come with a baguette.
Every once in a while you use it and it goes, oh.
And the sound effects.
It's weird. There's not any battery powered. It just
I'm sorry to my sister-in-law if she ever listens to this.
Yeah.
And then Allison, question number two is cheesecake pie or cake? Cake. And again, this is like a trick question because cake is in the name.
Yeah.
Of course it's cake. Yeah. How could it not be cake? It's cake.
I don't know what I was in my 20s. Like I had a birthday and someone's like, what kind of cake do you want for your birthday? And I said, cheese. They're like, really? I'm like, oh, hell yes. Yes, absolutely. Like of the cakes that I eat, that's my favorite.
How do you define a cake then?
I mean, the same way I define a salad, it's pretty nebulous. And
well, no, because to me, a cake is something that you mix a bunch of ingredients in and bake. And a cheesecake has that element to it, but it also has crust and filling. So,
yeah. I mean, I this is one where I feel like we need to define, like, is a cake part of the pie family? Or is a pie, what's the relationship, like, pies and cakes? Like, are they
they're different taxonomies, Gary.
Parallel? Are they parallel or not? Like what, maybe. But, like, what's the defining characteristic? Like, if it's,
I mean,
a,
they're
if it's
in
dessert,
the baked goods family. Like, they're in the baked dessert.
But we just,
branch.
Okay. Yep.
But I mean, yes, cheesecake is an anomalous cake, but it is a cake because it is called a cake. That is the only reason why it's a cake, because if it was not called a cheesecake, it would be a cheese pie, probably, because it's almost like a key lime pie sort of thing, except with a denser material. Like, it's probably the density of the cheesecake material that makes it a cake as opposed to a pie.
So you have like,
I mean, what's a flan? Like, is a flan a cake? Is a flan a pie?
Flan is a custard.
You get out your baked goods density tool and you check the density.
The baked
see if
good
it falls
density
on the cake.
Chart.
Yeah. Gosh, and there's like right in the middle, it's close, you know? Some of these like lighter cheesecakes could fall into that pie category, sadly.
Or maybe they'd
be
custards.
Sadly. Maybe just because they're light. I think for custards, you have to pull out your, what would you need? What would be like similar?
Something that measures movement?
Yeah.
Like, how does
it the jiggle factor? The
size
jiggle
monitor?
Factor.
I don't know.
Because cake just doesn't earthquake. Have much movement to it.
That's true.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.